Thank you so much for your prayers. They're already working. Yesterday, I had zero voice, okay? So this is good, okay? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yes. So he is just so faithful, okay? I missed y'all last week. I was out of town for the weekend with my family, and I got home Monday night, and some kind of nonsense like this was waiting for me when I got home. And I don't actually get sick very often, and when I do, it doesn't last very long. So I don't know what's going on, but what I do know is that God is a healer. Okay, so I just want to take a couple minutes before we start, and I just wanted to declare that as a family, okay? Because I hear people talk all the time about, oh, it's the shifting of the seasons, and we're, you know, it's allergy season, and it's cold season, and it's all of those things. But we live in the kingdom, okay? And divine health is our inheritance, and our God is a healer, okay? And that's not dependent on our circumstances. That's who he is, okay? So if you need healing in your body, whatever it is, just hold your hands out. We're just going to take a couple of minutes and just recognize and declare in this place today again that our Father is a healer. And that it is your nature to heal, and it is your desire to heal, and it is your will to heal, and for your family to walk in divine health. So we receive that inheritance in Jesus' name. Yeah. And that's our expectation for the fall. Amen? All right. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So today, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that we talk a lot about here at Arise, and that is family. Okay? Because that is such a familiar word, it's easy sometimes for us to draw our own conclusions about what that means. Okay? Right? Not that you guys would do that. But we're just going to take a couple minutes and talk about that today, okay? Because to some people, when they hear the word family, it immediately sets an unrealistic expectation that all their needs are going to be met in a people. Okay, right? And so then, if that doesn't happen, then they feel disappointed or they get offended because their needs weren't met. Okay, right? And then to other people who've had really bad experiences with that word, they hear that word and they're like, no, not that. Like, I've had a bad experience with family. Okay? So let's talk about for a minute what we mean when we use that word here at Arise. It's actually one of our core values. So if you read our core values on our website, and you get to the word family, it says family is the culture of heaven. Okay? That is when we talk about family. Most of the time, when we talk about family, just in the context of us as a family and what God is doing as a family on the earth, that's the context from which we're talking about it. Okay? And a lot of times, we can use something on the earth to as a model for us to understand something in heaven, right? Okay, but really, that can only be just a beginning, okay? Because things on earth are imperfect models, okay? So if we want to understand, we have to understand from heaven to earth and not just hold heaven to earth's perspective, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, for example, If we try to understand who God the Father is through our earthly fathers, it can leave us with an incorrect or an imperfect view of God the Father, right? Because if people have a bad relationship with their earthly father or with just male authority figures in general, they can view God as distant or harsh or untrustworthy, right? And that's an incorrect view of God the Father, okay? And even people who have a very great relationship with their father, it can help them understand some of the goodness of God the Father, but it's only a beginning, okay? Because if they stop there, then it leaves them with a very limited or incomplete view of God the Father. Because as good as our earthly fathers can be, it can never match the goodness of God. Okay? Does that make sense so far? It's the same way with family. Okay? If we try to understand kingdom family or heaven's culture only from our earthly experiences of family, whether they be good or bad, we can maybe obtain a measure of it, but we will always fall short of it, okay? Because we will always try to build something that meets our needs instead of participating in something that already exists in the kingdom, okay? Does that make sense? So let's talk about it for a second. What is the culture of heaven, okay? The culture of heaven is God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit. They always live and they have always lived together in perfect relationship. Okay? They have always lived in perfect family. Okay? And everything they do with the other in mind. They work together as a perfect unit, each one knowing their own role and each one relying on the other. Okay? Does that make sense so far? Okay. So that is the culture of heaven. Okay. And that is the family that we were created from. Okay. According to Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Okay. So we were created in the image of that family, from that family, in order to extend that family on the earth. Okay? So we were invited into this family of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because it was always God's intention in the creation of mankind to extend his family. Okay? And just so you don't get the wrong idea, I am not trying to say that we're equal with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? But I am trying to say that by his desire, he invited us to participate in what they do together. And that's amazing. That's incredible. Like, this perfect family, this perfect unit that worked together in perfect harmony invited us in to participate with them to be able to accomplish and extend this family on the earth. Okay? Does that make sense so far? Okay? Are you guys good? You can hear me good? It's good. Okay. So the first characteristic of kingdom family is that it values relationship over performance. Okay? One of the things that we do here at Arise is when people come and they want to serve right away, and we think that that's awesome. And so we sit down and we talk to them, and we always say, this is what we say to everybody. So if we said this to you, this wasn't just something that we said to you. We say this to everybody. We say, hey, we want you to come in, and we want you to take time, and we want you to build relationships with people first. And then we'll talk about leadership, okay? And the funny thing is that when when people hear that, they can almost feel like they're not wanted or that they're not needed, okay? Because in the world and also in a lot of churches, a person's value is determined by their performance, okay? So a lot of churches, if you come into a church and you're eager to serve, and especially if you have a lot of experience or you have a lot of talent or you're very gifted, they will pursue you hard. And they will say, we want you, we need you, come and do this, come and do that. We want you to be a part of us, okay? Right? That's how it works, okay? So when you come here and we're like, no, we want you to take some time and build relationships, you know, it almost feels like, oh, you don't need me, right? Okay, but that's not the case, okay? Because we want to make sure that as leadership in the church, that when we say we value relationships over performance, that's not just something we say, it's something we practice, okay? And we want our leadership to understand that before they ever step into that. They have to understand that the way that we lead here is that we value relationships over performance, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, when Jesus was getting baptized at the beginning of his earthly ministry, y'all probably all know this, the voice of the Father came from heaven and he said, this is my son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Okay? So before Jesus ever performed a miracle, before he ever taught in front of the crowds, before he ever went to the cross, this was his identity. Okay? You are my son, okay? In other words, his identity is like, I am a son. In other words, I am family. Okay? And I am loved. In other words, he wants relationship with me. Okay? And then he is well pleased with me, which is I am valuable to him. Okay? Everything that Jesus did flowed from this place of family and from this place of relationship and from this place of being valuable to the Father. Okay? He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Okay? And Jesus didn't need to perform to be a son. He knew that he was a son. Therefore, he did things from that place. Okay? As a matter of fact, that's the first temptation that the enemy came at him with. You know, he was like, hey, if the Father said, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. The enemy came at him and the first thing he said is, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. In other words, if you are a son, you must perform to prove that you are a son. Okay? Right? And then Jesus said, hey, I don't live by bread alone, but I live by the words that come from the mouth of my Father. In other words, I'm not a son because I perform. I am a son because my Father said so. Okay? So everything that I do is because of what he said, not because of what I do. Okay? Does that make sense? And that's actually, I've heard that a lot in the last maybe a year or so. It's become a pretty popular thing to teach on, okay? But actually, that piece is actually just the beginning of understanding that moment, okay? Because I've heard people teach about that from the perspective of, okay, this is who we are, and this is our position, and this is our relationship with the Father. Okay? And that's good, but that's just the beginning. Because I've seen those same people turn around and treat the people around them based on their performance and not on who they are. Does that make sense? Okay? So the more that we know who we are, the more that we know our position in the family, the more that we know how the Father values us, the more that that love lives in us, and the more that we value people the way that the Father values us. So before they ever do anything, they are valuable. We want relationship with you, and you are a son. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. Okay. So that's the first thing, valuing relationships over performance. It's harder than you might think. Because we have no idea, like we're still learning how much performance is instinctive in us as the people of God. And we have to unlearn it. Does that make sense? Okay, so the second thing, the second characteristic of kingdom family is that it's a place of belonging. Okay, and that should be true regardless of if our needs are met. And regardless of whether or not we're like each other, and regardless of even what church we go to, okay? Because it's not about where we live. It's not about what makes us belong is not about where we are in a moment or who we're with in a moment. It's the fact that we all belong to the Father, okay? And it all starts there. And it's actually the Holy Spirit that creates this atmosphere of belonging when he invites us into relationship and encounter with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And when he invites us into that place, that's the family from which we were created from the beginning anyway. Okay, and it's like when we find that place, it's like we found something that we've been searching for since the beginning of time that we didn't even know we were searching for. Because that's the family from which we were created for. And when we find that, we find the place where we belong. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, and that is why Wes always says Holy Spirit is the best creator of family. And that is because he creates this place of belonging. And he invites people into the family from which they were originally created. Okay? Does that make sense? And then the more that we know how we belong, the more that we can bring other people into that. Okay? Does that make sense? But because a lot of the world and a lot of the church, they will use successes or failures to determine how much you belong to a place, right? Okay. So if you're in a place or with a people and you feel like you belong, the way that you measure that usually is by how successful you think you're being. Okay, right? Because the minute that you start to feel like there's more failure than success, then you start to feel like, hey, I don't belong here anymore. Because either I'm messing up or they're messing up, but somebody's messing up and now we don't belong. Does that make sense? Okay, are you with me so far? If we continue to do this thing where we feel like we're messing up or somebody else is letting us down, and so we leave a place and we leave a place and we leave a place, it will leave us with this constant feeling of not being good enough. Okay? And then we live with that feeling of just never good enough. I just never find the place where I belong. I just never find a home. I just never find anything. Okay, it's only because we can only find that place of belonging when we find it with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit first. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so in a family, you belong because of who you are. Okay, and the way that you belong is not determined by your successes or your failures. Okay, because in a family, you're not replaced because you're not good enough. And in a family, you're not abandoned because you make a mistake. Okay? Part of family is a culture that hopes for people the way that heaven does. Okay? Does that make sense? And we're not just willing to plug people in and out based on how they're doing. Does that make sense? We take the time to build relationship and train them and equip them and empower them in the way that God does with us. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, another thing about belonging is belonging is does not equal tolerance. Okay, a lot of people are like when they, in order for them to feel like they belong, they're just like they come in and they're just like, okay, I'm just gonna be me. Okay, I'm just gonna do me. This is who I am. I'm tired of everyone trying to change me. I can't help it. This is just who I am. I'm just going to do me, okay? And if you don't like it, you don't have to like it. This is just who I am, okay? And actually, a family is not just a place of belonging. It's a training ground for the mature, okay? Isn't that what a family does? They train up children to go into the world and represent the family well. Okay? So we're not being family if we're letting you just do you. Okay? We want to, actually, we do want to empower you to be you. Of course we do. That's what the kingdom looks like. But part of what that looks like is being willing to grow and being willing to mature, and being willing to find your place in a family, and know that it doesn't just revolve around you, it revolves around a family, okay? And, I mean, if you're having trouble with that, think about Jesus, who came and had to wrap himself in flesh and wrap himself in the limitations of human flesh to rescue the world, okay? So I think that we can learn to submit to one another. In fact, he told us, submit to one another, okay? So yes, it is about you, but it also is about you finding your place of belonging in the family, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, that's actually one of the things that I really love about a fivefold. It's one of the things we've learned is that we've learned to be able to appreciate how we're different and know that it makes us stronger when we're together. Okay, it isn't always easy. It isn't always fun. It isn't always natural, but it's powerful. Okay? Because that's the way God intended it. Okay? Does that make sense? All right. The third thing is that kingdom family comes with an inheritance. Okay? So when God decided that he wanted to demonstrate the power of faith in the world, and when he was ready to present his covenant that he wanted to make with man that was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, he chose a man named Abram, and his name meant exalted father. Okay? So again, he wanted to emphasize family. Okay? And the first thing that he said to Abram was, leave your country, leave your home, and leave your father's household, and go to a land that I will show you. Okay, so in other words, leave everything behind that you know about family, about culture, about just how you think the world works. Leave all of that behind and come into a greater thing that I will show you. Okay, does that make sense? So when Abram got to the land, God invited him to come and walk through the length and the breadth of the land because he said, I am giving it to you and to your offspring forever, or your descendants. So now he's talking about family. And he's like, it's not just going to be about one man. It's going to be about a family. Okay? So through God and Abraham's continued relationship, God promised him a son. And God promised him, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And he said, now you're going to be the father of a multitude. Okay? And then he gave Abraham promises that were so great that they could only be fulfilled through inheritance. Okay? They could only be fulfilled through the generations of his family line. Okay? So the entire time that Abraham lived in the land that God had promised him, in the promises that God said, I'm going to give it to you and to your offspring forever, the entire time he lived there in tents, never possessing any of it. Okay? It wasn't until that one man became a family generations later that the family came back and possessed the promise. Okay? It is only through family that you can possess the fullness of the promises of God. Okay? The same thing is true for us. Okay? When we talk about family, we're not just talking about the Arise family. We're not just talking about our own families. We're talking about being a part of something bigger than ourselves, okay? Because it is only through family, through the family of God, through people who understand how they fit into the family of God and know who they are as his family, as his children, that we can together possess the fullness of the promises of God on the earth, okay? And sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own disappointments of what God's not doing for us right now, or what we don't have right now, or what we don't see right now, that we miss opportunities every day to invest in the family inheritance. Okay? Because we're so wrapped up in, oh, God's got to fulfill this for me. God's got to fulfill this for me. God's got to fulfill this for me. And I don't want you to think that God doesn't care about your own individual things, because he absolutely does. He created you with a destiny in mind. He not only created you with a destiny in mind, he pursues you every day, longing to pour that out on you. He speaks all the time when you're doubting. He speaks words of hope over you. He speaks words of empowerment over you. He absolutely cares about every individual promise and destiny on your life. Okay? It absolutely matters. But it's only until we understand that it's not just about us. It's about us in a family. And it's about the inheritance that's on the family. It's only then that we can really step into the fullness of what God has for us. Okay? Does that make sense? Because it's only a family that can possess the promises. Okay? That's the way God designed it. That's the way he intended it. Okay? And that's what we get to be a part of. He never designed us to do it alone. Okay? Are you okay? Does that make sense? All right. Eddie and Brittany, you can come back. Let's just stand up. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. I just want to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to really invite you into a place of belonging, into a place of home. And I think specifically if you have been wounded by relationships, if you feel let down by people, if you feel not good enough. If you've never felt known, I think this is a moment. For just the Holy Spirit to pour out healing over your heart. I think this is a moment of forgiveness. I think it's an opportunity to forgive the people that haven't met your expectations. Because those expectations can only be met in the family of heaven. And I don't mean like someday in heaven. I mean in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In that family that you were born from. It's the place you're known. It's the place you belong. It's the place where every cry of your heart is heard. And I think that the more you let him in, the more you give him room, the more he brings us together, and the more powerful presence we can have on the earth. And then the sick are healed. The lame walk. The blind see, and the deaf hear. That's the kingdom. That's what we've been invited to participate in. And I don't care how many times we've stepped out and it hasn't happened. Every time it's been an investment in the inheritance of the family. Yeah, prayer team, you could come up if you need prayer, if you need to feel just like you belong. You could come up for prayer. You could stay in worship. We have a few minutes for parents. You guys can stay for a few minutes. And then just whenever you're ready, you're free to leave. Or you're free to stay as long as you want. Okay?